Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. Well, it is absolutely Tuesday, and you know what that means. That's right. Today is Tuesday, and you know what that means. That means we have a guest co-host star today, Professor Terry Benjamin, and I will be bringing him on the mic in just minute here. It looks like we're having some issues with our internet. For it, everything was going great, and I tried to do something a little bit different this morning by playing a little background music, as those of you who are on the line prior to the show start, and all of a sudden buttons start flying anywhere and everywhere, and I absolutely lost my show page, so I can't open up any phone lines. So therefore, Professor Terry, just bear with me. I know you got a hot topic today, and I may have to, I don't know what, it just kind of spun out of control, and things start going every way and which way, and now it's kind of frozen, so I'm going to see if we can do something about that. But until then, I will only have access to my, I definitely have access to my smartphone, so I'll pull up the topic, and hopefully by the time I read you what our topic is today, maybe things will be back up. So our topic today is overcoming the seven fears on the road to success. And I was so looking forward to this topic. Oh, and I still am, and we will be there in just a minute, so please don't go away. Overcoming the seven fears on the road to success. Now, that's coming from a book by Napoleon Hill, and the title of that book, Success Principles of Personal Achievement. Well, it's noted that it is a universally acknowledged masterpiece of the success principles. Napoleon Hill has left the philosophy of success that will never grow old. And those are, that's what Professor Terry is saying, and we can't wait to hear what he has to say about that, so do hang on. And also, it's one of his bestsellers, Napoleon Hill's Keys to Success, and he has the 17 Principles of Personal Achievement. Okay, so 17 Principles of Personal Achievement, and the Success Principles of Personal Achievement. Okay, so 17, and he's going to be talking about overcoming the seven fears on the road to success, but I got to get this back up some kind of way. And so I just need you to bear with me just for a minute, and I can't even bring him in until I get this fixed. So that's how it is in the world of technology. You know, like when you walk into the bank and they tell you that they cannot absolutely post that money to your account because they tell you that the system is down. And what do? Stand there and throw a fit? I hope not. Yeah, I hope that what you do is have patience and say, oh, okay. Well, you can't post it to the account. Hopefully I got enough money there to cover anything that needs to be covered. So I have to go and restart another computer. I guess I could have shut that one down and let it reboot. But even if I did that, it's a little slow. So I just want to come to another one that's a little bit faster. But meanwhile, I can think of a few fears that might be in the pathway on that road to success. And that could be a certainly one fear that I had to deal with would be the fear of success, believe it or not. The fear of success is on the road to success. So I can think of three, but I can't wait to hear of the seven. So I can think of a fear of success. I can think of the fear of failure. And then I can think of the fear of rejection. So I can't wait to hear what the seven that Napoleon Hill, I have not read his masterpiece work, at least not that one. I did read Think and Grow Rich, but I read that about 40 years ago, maybe about 36 years ago, and I don't remember all the pieces of the book. So I am going to have to get that book and reread it. I did get a book by a speaker who wrote a book called Speak and Grow Rich. So I do have that book. But I can't wait to reread his book and see what he said. Because I read that so I was very, very young. So I would like to read it again now that I'm much older and see what my feelings are. How do I feel about what I read then versus what I'm reading now? But again, just a couple more minutes and I will be turning over the mic to my co-host for Tuesday. So each and every Tuesday, we're right here with Professor Terry Benjamin. But we're here all about entrepreneurs. We're here every day of the week. That's Monday through Friday. You can listen in by dialing 347-945-7991. You can also listen to various RSS feeds, or you can listen by going to the website blogtalkradio.com/AAE Show, which is AAE is just the acronym for All About Entrepreneurs. So you can do that. Tune into the show that way. Also, I want to remind you that we are in our countdown. We're in a serious countdown to August the 24th for our second annual Women Leaders and Entrepreneurs Summit and Business Expo at the brand new Marriott Hotel downtown Newark, where we are ultra excited about that event, especially at a time like this where so many people are looking to start businesses. The economy has edged some people, nudged some, and literally forced others into a life of entrepreneurship. Some people never thought they'd be an entrepreneur, at least not this fast in their lives, and yet still they find themselves smack dab in the middle of needing to know what it takes to be an entrepreneur. Those who are slowly growing their businesses are finding that, you know what, I'm glad I'm here, considering a lot of people are being laid off at all levels and within organizations, and they're like, okay, the middle person, the leaders, CEOs, companies shutting down. So a lot of people are excited that, you know what, I was already in this, and so they're taking their businesses to another level. So So come out and be with us. And we'll help you. We want to help you grow your business. We want to help you network. We want to help you expand your products and services. We just want to help you. So I'm still trying to sign in. And it's going. Don't worry. We're getting there. I know it's a little bit of a process here, but okay, I think we're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere. I'm almost in the studio. Give me 2 more seconds. I'll have Brother Terry on the air. And boy, there we are. Terry, you're here. You're there.
I'm right here.
Away. Take it away.
I tell you, boy, this technology is amazing.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness, I can't believe that.
But it only goes to show that, you know, it's only as smart as what people put into it, okay? It can't think like we can, and it can't have memories and et cetera, you know?
Yeah, and you see, you heard the song playing in the background, right?
Yeah, I heard all of that, you know, and I was really kind of surprised that we weren't coming on, but again, you know, it's a thing where Napoleon Hill always says, man, you got to have that burning desire, and that burning desire is what's going to make you keep on going and not give up. So I really commend you for your filibuster, you know. So to get that time, you know, but I'm going to help you now. And again, I just want to say good morning to you. I want to say good morning to our listeners. And again, another great topic. I mean, I find myself, I think this month I'm just going to devote to books by Napoleon Hill. I mean, these are books that were written during the 1920s and the 1930s, and we're now here in 2013, and his philosophy is even more relevant today. You have to understand, he was writing like during the time of the Great Depression, you know, and I can't say we have the Great Depression with us here now, but we have a situation where people are not really comfortable. People are in a position where they feel very, very desperate. But I think that desperate times call for desperate measures, you know, and that's why I think that everybody, you know, there's a quote in the book that I have to find about. It talks about formal education and how formal education is important, but it's only important to the extent that you can get this formal education to make this next step to really do your own thing. You know, you learn different things and you take it to the next level. And it says here, it says that, you know, to be successful, you have to have definiteness of purpose. And it says here that definiteness of purpose encourages you to specialize, and specialization leads to perfection. Your success in life will depend a great deal on your ability to know much about a specific area and perform exceptionally well within it. General, and this is the key, this is what I want to get to, Lisa. It says here, general education is important because by pursuing it, you will discover your basic aptitudes and desires. Once you have discerned them, however, you should immediately begin to acquire specialized knowledge in your major interest. Definiteness of purpose will act as a magnet to attract to you the specialized knowledge necessary for success. So again, it's just not knowledge, but it's specialized knowledge. If you're in the field of public speaking, there's certain things you must know. If you're in the field of publishing, there's certain things you must know. If you're in the field of acting, there's certain things you must know. If you're in the field of movie making, there's certain things you must know. And that's why, as a result of me putting together this film festival for October, I've had to learn a whole new language. But again, the more I learn in this language, the more I can work in this particular field, the better for me. So again, this is the time. This is the time for you to take those ideas that you have and put those into the arena where you can profit from them. You know, and so today we're talking about overcoming the 7 fears on the road to success, because as you move to success, you understand this, you're going to find some bumpy roads. There's going to be some turbulence. So I advise you to just get your seatbelt, make that tight, and realize that, you know what, there's going to be some bumps along the road, but you know what? If you know what to expect, you can prepare for that. And so I'd like to start with what Napoleon Hill says, and I really love this quote, and people have heard this quote many, many times, and a lot of times they don't know who it's from. But it was Napoleon Hill who said, whatever your mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. Let me say that again. Whatever your mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. So again, you come up with the idea, you believe in that idea, and you achieve that idea. But for many people, what holds them back is fear. And Lisa, you brought out some really good ideas about fear, about, you know, fear of success. People would think that, no, well, that wouldn't be a fear. But it would, because what happens when you become successful, you put yourself in a whole other arena. As a matter of fact, you get out of your comfort zone. And for many people, getting out of that comfort zone is very, very uncomfortable. And so we want to be comfortable in what we do, but sometimes you have to understand that to be really successful, you have to be uncomfortable. You have to deal with the idea of that, you know, you may not know the next step. And that's where faith comes in. So we're going to talk about the seven fears, and then we're going to go to the whole issue of faith, because, again, it's going to take a lot of faith to overcome those fears. And so I'd like to begin by just going into this book. It's entitled Napoleon Hill's Keys to Success, the 17 Principles of Personal Achievement. That's Napoleon Hill's Keys to Success, the 17 Principles of Personal Achievement. And so we want to go into this book here, and I want to list the seven fears, and I want to go back and maybe talk a little bit about them. There is a book by a woman named Susan Jeffords. She's a PhD, and her book is entitled Feel the Fear, But Do It Anyway. Feel the Fear, But Do It Anyway. So we're going to feel fear, but that shouldn't stop us. Many times people get a fear, and that fear paralyzes them to the point where they don't do anything. So again, feel the fear. Feel it, okay? Feel it. Go through everything you have to go through. Maybe you have to cry to get through it, but you know what? Feel it and then go forward. And these are the seven major fears. And the thing is, once you identify your fear, you can slam the door on that fear. And then you can dwell in the good. You can have hope. You can have expectation. And it all comes about with faith. So the first fear is poverty. The first fear is poverty. Fear number one is poverty. Fear number two is criticism. Fear number three is ill health. Fear number four is loss of love. Fear number five is old age. Fear number six is loss of liberty. And fear number seven is death. So I just want to go over these quickly. One, poverty. Two, criticism. Three, ill health. Four, loss of love. Five, old age. Six, loss of liberty. And seven, fear of death. Now, these are seven fears that are common to everybody. You know, we all have to deal with them at one time or another. You know, and I wanted, like, let's go into this first fear. Again, it's called the fear of poverty. And Hill says that this is the most destructive of the seven basic fears and the hardest to master because it brings so much suffering and misery. Much of the fear of poverty comes from our bitter experience in dealing with others who have proved untrustworthy and willing to exploit us for their own benefit. And so what happens is that you find yourself in a situation where you just don't have enough money. I mean, one of my friends said, you know, you have more month than money, which means that you run out of money before the month is up. You know, one of the I've visited this fear many times because I fear that, you know, I mean, I do plan to have a long life. I do plan to live to 100, and I realize that as I look at my financial situation that if I do live to 100, which I will, I'm going to run out of money. So I have to do things now to make sure that when I do reach my 99th birthday that I will not have to live a different type of lifestyle than I do now. So the fear of poverty is very real for me and also for many people. Number two, criticism. He says here that fear of criticism can affect you in ways both trivial and serious. It can lead you to buy the latest fashions, the fanciest cars, the most sophisticated stereo audio system because you fear being left behind the times, out of step with what everyone is doing. Most insidiously, it can prevent you from presenting and acting on ideas that are revolutionary, ideas that would give you independence. It robs you of your individuality and your faith in yourself. Again, I mean, you have to sometimes just exhibit audacity, you know. I mean, how dare you think that you can have a radio program every day that people will actually tune into? I mean, who are you to think such thoughts? Who are you to think that you can have a major film festival in Rahway, New Jersey? You know, people say that it can't be done because it never has been done. One of the films that we're going to premiere at the film festival is a film called The Seven Deadly Words. And the seven deadly words are, we've never done it like this before, which means that most people are afraid of change. And Bill Cosby said it best when he said, I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everyone. You can't please everybody. And sometimes, you know, I know in class, we're winding down at Essex County College. It's our last week of class. There's some students who want to get an A for the class, but they haven't done anything to achieve that A. I mean, I have to disappoint them. I have to say that, you know what, I know what you want, but your work does not show that you're not ready for that. Now, again, with criticism, there's always backlash, you know, because now they might not like me as much as they liked me in the beginning, but I can't be concerned about that. I have to do what I know is right. So, again, that fear of criticism is real. Ill health, number three. This fear is closely related to a later one, the fear of death, but is much more dependent on habits for its growth. You may very well have acquired it simply by growing up around others who shared it. It, too, can prevent you from taking risks, and a simple presence can actually bring about the very situation that you fear. I mean, some of us are hypochondriacs. Everything, you know, we get a little cough, we get this and whatnot. I'm not saying to ignore it, but I'm just saying not get so much into it that you don't want to venture out, you know. You don't want to do things because you're afraid that something might happen to you, that you might get sick. But you know what? The best cure for illness is to stay in health, exercise, eat right, drink water, do the things that you know you need to do to prevent the ill health. Number four, loss of love. And Hill says here, the fear of the loss of love is so intimate and so easily understood that it isn't necessary to elaborate on its symptoms. Simply cultivate your relationship with a positive mental attitude. Give them your all. And instead of being a source of fear to you, they will be bastions of strength and courage. Loss of love. We all have people that we love. I've seen people lose a loved one, and really not through death, but sometimes, you know, we have to understand that sometimes we have to move on. Many of us have gone through divorce. I was in a marriage for 27 years, and after 27 years, we decided we wanted to go our separate ways. It was painful for the both of us, but we knew that it was the right thing to do. But you lost, I mean, I lost what I thought was the love of my life, you know, until I met my second wife. But the thing is that loss of love is very, very real. So number four, loss of love. Number five, old age. The fear of old age causes you to slow down and develop a feeling of inferiority. Whether you are 30, 40, 60, or 70, you become convinced that you have let opportunities slip by and that your best years are behind you. My philosophy is that the best is yet to come. Reminds me of a story that Willie Jolly likes to tell. Willie Jolly is a noted public speaker, singer, and also minister. And he talks about going to this seminar where he gave a keynote address, and made some pretty good money. But as he was coming back on a plane, he was looking at his check and realized that, you know what, all the money he made has already been spent. And so he began to feel sorry for himself. He began to feel that, you know, is he just worthless? And he was sitting next to a man who looks to be in his late 60s, and he and the man began to talk. And the man had asked him, he said, how old do you think I am? And he said, I figured maybe, you know, middle, late 60s. He said, no, I'm in my 80s. I'm in my 80s, and you know what? The best is yet to come. So if someone in the 80s can say the best is yet to come, and you in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, you know your best is yet to come, but you have to get that mindset and realize that age has nothing to do with it because it's never too late. And I always say it's never too late to be the person that you want to be. Number six, loss of liberty. Loss of liberty. No matter where you live in any country, fear, the loss of freedom is present. For those suffering in police states rather than enjoying the liberty that Americans possess, the fear is great. But many of our forces can work to limit our freedom, the political ambitions of your neighbors, the demands of your daily life. And this fear can paralyze you and distract you from your definite major purpose. Understand, you know, America is at war, okay? And so things that may happen in this particular country will be very devastating to many people. But the thing is, we still live in the freest country on the planet. I mean, this country is so free, you can insult the president of the United States and not go to jail, not be tortured. You know, they've called Obama everything but a child of God. And yet, there's nobody has went to jail for that. You know, we have freedom of speech in this country. We have the liberty to act as we want, and we should never take that for granted. And number seven, and this is the biggie for a lot of people, the fear of death. This fear is the grandfather of all others. It's very difficult to whip because it's so universal in our society and because it's constantly enforced on a daily basis. There's no escape from death. And no matter what faith we have, death is an unknown. We have never experienced it. Complete, absolute answers about its nature are impossible. And it's human nature to fear anything we do not understand. And so death. And it says here that, you know, we have to replace all of these fears. These are fears that we have to deal with. And these fears are poverty, criticism, ill health, loss of love, old age, loss of liberty, and death. But the hope and the good news, Lisa, is the fact that we can replace fear with hope. And he says here, and I love what he says here, the fundamental lesson in dealing with the fear of death is learn to set it aside. This should be our goal with each of the fears. Whatever you fear will follow you around like a puppy. Your mind attracts anything it dwells upon. Most people go through life thinking about the things they don't want to happen, and they probably experience every one of them. And for many of us, you know, fear is, and I like what Les Brown says here, he says that fear is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Many of the things that we fear never comes to part, never comes to pass, you know. And again, it goes on to say here about faith, it says faith exists only so long as it is used. You cannot develop muscles by not using them. You cannot increase your capital by not investing it. Persistent action backed by definiteness of purpose will pump you up with faith. And the last thing that I want to say about this is that, again, the dominant thing that we want to understand is that what is our burning desire, that's the thing that we want to count on. You know, no matter what happens to us, you know, we have to move on. And it says here, and I love it, it says here, close the door of fear behind you, and you will quickly see the door of faith open before you. Increasing and applying your faith are a process that takes time and dedication. You will never be finished with this task because the power you have at your disposal is infinite. So are the rewards. And so in closing, I'd like to say that, you know, it goes back to prayer. I'm reading these books that were written in the 1920s and 1930s and et cetera because it was a different time. But I believe that time was very much influenced by the Bible because many of the things that I read in Hill are definitely Bible-based. When we talk about faith, faith is, you know, about things that have not been foreseen, but we know these things are going to happen. I have the audacity to plan for the future. I'm planning this, I'm planning that. I plan to be around on October 11, 12, and 13 when we're doing our film festival. I mean, that's a plan. I have the faith that will come about the way that I want it to come about. I have all the fears that everybody else can have, but you know what? I don't let these fears paralyze me. I don't let these fears say, you know what, Terry, this is something that's never been done before, so don't even try. And so I like to say, basically, that the book that I'm discussing is Napoleon Hill's Key to Success, The Seven Principles of Personal Achievement. And these are principles, rather than suggestions. And principles are things that never, ever go out of style. You know, it's like the Ten Commandments. It's the Ten Commandments, and not the Ten Suggestions. And people have to understand that whatever they dream of, whatever they think about, and that's why it's so important to read these kind of books every single day and tune into programs like Lisa's every single day because we need this encouragement. And I told my students, develop the habit of literacy. And when I say every day, do some reading, writing, talking, listening, and viewing, and do it every day. Do it 7 days a week because if you do that, you keep that a good thought in your head, you keep that picture of a positive future in your mind, and you know what? You will not be discouraged. You will not fear, you know, like Roosevelt once said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Some people get so much into their fears that they forget to live. But that's not going to be us. We're going to live. We're going to get beyond this because we're going to demonstrate the power of faith. And so just one more time, just for our discussion, I want to list the seven fears. It's fear. The first fear is poverty. The second fear is criticism. The third fear is ill health. The fourth fear is loss of love. The fifth fear is old age. The sixth fear, loss of liberty, and the seventh fear is death. And these are the fears, but you know what? Faith in ourselves, faith in our dreams, faith in our purpose will help us get through all these fears. These fears will only be just a minor stumbling block because we have in our minds the faith that we will do the things that we are here on this planet to do. And everything comes from God, so whatever we think about, it has been something that he has given us. And again, if he's given us the thought, he will also give us the tools to achieve that. So again, Napoleon Hill's Keys to Success, the seven principles of personal achievement. And again, this morning, we're talking about the seven basic fears.
Wow, well, that is great because, you know, it's good to hear that other people also experience these. So sometimes, you know, just to know that you're not the only one going through that
is,
you know, very comforting. But to know that you can overcome these fears that are very basic, fear of growing old, poverty, all the ones you named, poor health and such, that was good because those weren't any of the ones I was thinking of. But, yeah, and you'd be, and it is interesting to see what people do fear. I mean, I remember growing up, my grandmother, who did live to be 86, who lived with us since I was age five. And it was funny because she took away, in my mind, she took away my fear of growing old. She used to tell us, she used to say almost every day whenever something would happen, number one, she would say, just keep on living.
So like, if
anytime something you didn't go your way or you didn't experience something, she would say, just keep on living. And then she would always, and then to me, she took away the fear of death when she would always say, you can't get out this world alive.
Wow,
and she used to say that almost every day. Somebody would do something, I would say something. And she would say, well, you can't get out this world alive. And so I remember looking at her like, yeah, that's true, huh? So it was like, in other words, go on, live your life, enjoy it. Something's going to take you out of here because you can't get out alive. You're going to die one day.
That's right.
So don't worry about that because that's the inevitable. Worry not about that. And go worry about something else if you want, but don't worry about that because that's going to happen.
Or worry about nothing. You know, maybe just sit and just,
right.
You know, in your solitude. It was Albert Einstein who said, if you want to live a happy life, tie it to a goal, not to people or things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have goals. I think a lot of us don't have goals. And one of the things I learned from reading on Napoleon Hill is that you really got to get in the habit of writing things down. You have to write these things down because a lot of times we have them in our head, but I think it makes it a lot more serious when we write it down, we put it in black and white, because that way we can look at it. Because I remember when we had started different things, and I started working with you in a program, I always would take notes in terms of how to improve my delivery, how I would, you know, what I would do to maybe help the program move a little quicker and that kind of thing. But it came with a plan. I mean, I didn't just, you know, say I wanted to do this. I had to have a plan to do it. So again, I want to commend you for, you know, having this kind of program because it's so much needed. Sometimes people get so much into their fear that they forget to to live their dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're absolutely, I think my grandmother, who was born in 1906, and my grandmother was a reader. She loved to read, and that's where my mom picked it up from. So she possibly has read some of these books.
Oh, sure.
Because she certainly had that attitude, and she didn't let anything bother her. I used to be amazed at this woman. And she really kind of taught that principle around the house, and my mom picked up a lot of it. My mother, I'll never forget, as a teenager, she came home from work one day, and she took a glass and filled it, you know, half filled with water. And sat it on the table and called all of us around, whoever was in the house that day, and asked us, what did we see? And that's, and so at the age of, I don't know, maybe 16, I learned the concept of being a pessimist or an optimist.
Oh, man, that's beautiful.
And my mom sat there and taught us that seeing the glass half full was having a pessimistic view. And seeing, of course, seeing it half full was having an optimistic view. And so, you know, that was life-changing for me, because that was right at the time when I was in the throes of doing things wrong and dropping out of school. But in the back of my mind, but I remember that teaching, and I remember at that point that she said that I had made the decision to see the glass half full.
Yes.
It was like I had a choice at that moment to choose to see things in a negative way or a positive way or a pessimistic way. So
that's just powerful. Yeah. That's powerful, because again, what she did is she gave you a picture. You know, Hill talked about in the book, he says, here, you know, we have to demonstrate the power of our faith. You know, and he says, one suggestion, he says, here, surround yourself with books, pictures, mottos, and other suggested devices. Pick things that symbolize and reinforce achievement and self-reliance. Work constantly to add to your collection, to move things to new places where you can see them in a different light, associated with different things. And he says, you got to build this atmosphere of support. Keep a notebook. Hand your jot down the things you hear and read that inspires you. When you're on the road or in a meeting, your fast scratching can give you lasting support. You know, so again, what he seems to be saying is that every day, see, that's the beautiful thing about life. Every day is a day to move in your purpose. Every day is to do something that can help move you further along. I mean, we don't take a vacation from life. You know, we live life every day. And people understand that as you move towards your goals, I mean, it has to open up for you, you know. And one thing that I want to bring out that Hill always talks about, he talks about associating with people. And it says here, and I want to quote, it says here, associate with people who are in sympathy with you and your major purpose. Get their encouragement. They can be colleagues, friends, or family. You know, we got to be surrounded by people who love us and people who encourage us, because there's so much negativity out here in the world that if we're not careful, we'll get into our spirit to the point where we won't be able to think of anything positive, because you know it's the negativity has filled our cup, you know. So, you know, we got to really, and that's why it's so important to take, you know, little breaks, to walk, to be in nature, you know, to really enjoy the things that God has put for us. Because, again, if we get so overwhelmed with fear, we won't be able to move. So, yeah, what they were doing for you, and they did the same thing for me. My grandmother was great for that. You know, she always told me that, you know, you got to keep on moving, because even in her later years when she was using a walker, she was still she was still walking. She was still moving around. And so, again, I mean, most of us have relatives who live very, very long lives. And, again, it really is a testament to our resilience that we have gone through many things in this country, but we are still here. We are still standing. And I think that says a whole lot.
Yes, that does say a lot, but we are out of time because you know how Blog Talk just cut us off. So don't want that, because it's been such a great topic today, as all the topics are great, but this is great, and we look forward to the next Tuesday and see what Napoleon Hill is talking about. through Professor Terry. So he's using your voice right now, but we thank you so much. This is very awesome. Get over those fears. Overcome those fears. Any opportunity to help people overcome their fear and step out and do what they really want to do is a blessing for sure. So we thank you again. We thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for going back and listening to the archives. We invite you to dial in and listen to the show, and we can open your phone lines. You can ask questions at the end of the show, or if I see your hand raised during the show, we'll try to, you know, get you in there. But we thank you for your support, and we look forward to seeing you back tomorrow, same time, same place, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And go tell somebody about all of our entrepreneurs. Go tell them that this is a show where we seek to empower you, to motivate you, and to inspire you to live up to your greatest and your fullest and your overfull potential. Mm-hmm. And to help you grow into things that your goals, and like you said, your goals, your dreams. So again, have a great, powerful, wonderful day. Again, Terry, thank you. Can't thank you enough. I will be definitely talking about these fears somewhere in my day, probably with my students. So thank you, thank you.
Thank you, and have a good day.
Yes.
That's right. There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs, and visit us on the web at www.release-your-power.com. Like our friend page on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at twitterandfacebook.com/CoachLalisa. If you would like to get in touch with one of the entrepreneurs or one of the guests that you've heard on the show, please send us a request on Facebook or on Twitter or right here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you're not an entrepreneur yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go out and make it happen. Again, we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, for another exciting episode of All About Entrepreneurs. Stay tuned for our conferences, our seminars, and our webinars, where you can get further trained as you develop just what you are and just what you want to do. Again, this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.